San Francisco station KPO presents Tonight at 9:30, the fourth in a new series of programs designed to bring into the spotlight the best in San Francisco radio talent. Music, comedy, drama. A different show each Saturday, presented from San Francisco on Tonight at 9:30. Tonight at 9:30, we present an original radio drama, a story of suspense and fear, of crime and remorse, titled The Devil is a Woman, written and directed by KPO producer George Snell. Our drama features in the stellar roles two of San Francisco's outstanding radio personalities, KPO announcer John Grover and the versatile young actress Yvonne Patey, heard on many local programs. Later, we shall talk to them about their work. But now, the lights dim. The curtain rises, and the spotlight's on The Devil is a Woman.
I am William Burden. I've discovered that solitude is conducive to philosophy. Too bad some people have to go to prison to find solitude and philosophy, like me. Yes, in prison a man has time to think, plenty of time. And I've thought a good deal. What about? Oh, I've come to the conclusion that woman is the devil. But as I see it, what I have done is a long chain of inevitable deeds, one leading to another. It keeps going over in my mind, even now when it's all over. It keeps turning in my head like wheels. I suppose I'm weak. How could I have done it? Sometimes I still can't believe that I really killed a man. Yes, it all began as twilight entered the bookshop. My shop, with its dusty books and its quiet. The bookshop of William Burden.
Is anyone here who can wait on me?
Good evening.
Oh, I was afraid nobody was in. I'm looking for something to read.
Well, what do you have in mind?
Oh, I don't know. Anything, a novel, something not too heavy.
You want a book from the lending library?
Oh, yes, I don't want to buy a book.
That's just the trouble. People never want to buy a book. Just step over this way, please.
Oh, here's one I've heard about. I'll take that.
All right, if you'll just give me your name and address for my records.
Yes, it's Irene Delamore, 36 Riverdale Apartments.
All right, Miss Delamore, thank you, and come again. Come again? Yes, she returned many times. And as time went on, I took to noticing her, the quick, intelligent way she responded to any suggestion about books, her interest in many subjects, and, of course, her great physical charm. I'd been trying to study. I planned to write a book, but it became impossible. I thought of her. It was wrong, but I thought of her. Then one day she called me on the telephone.
Hello, Will?
Yes, who is this?
Irene.
Oh.
I'm so sorry to trouble you. I haven't been feeling well.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I have two or three books that are terribly overdue, and I hate to keep them.
Well, that's all right. You don't have to worry about a little thing like that.
I know, but well, it's against my principles. Would it be too much to ask? Could you drop over for them?
Why?
After all, it would be nice to see you.
Well, all right. Yes, I'll come.
So you did come.
Yeah.
Come and sit down. I'd like to talk to you. You're not in a hurry.
No.
Sit down. Well, here we are together.
Yeah.
Well, for a man who reads and writes, you don't say much. Yes, no, yes.
Well, I'll admit I'm not exactly scintillating. You have beautiful hands.
No, they serve their purpose.
They're so well cared for. You don't use them much. What do?
Pass the time as painlessly as possible. Why? Do I look like a woman with a past?
Frankly, yes. You're certainly not usual.
What do you mean by that?
Well, for one thing, you come straight to the point.
I'm clairvoyant, too. I see you're a man who wants, oh, maybe the moon.
I don't know about that.
Yes, you do. I can read you so easily.
I wish I could say the same about you. Who are you? Where do you come from? What do you do?
What is there to tell? I live here. I'm single, though I have been married. Well, what else do you want to know? Oh, just a minute. I better answer it. Hello? No, not at all. Oh, just sitting here reading. Yes, I was. Well, you needn't... Well, what about you? You hadn't better. I don't know what you're talking about. No, really, that isn't so. What about you? All right, I don't care what you think.
Well, who was that?
Oh, nobody. It was nothing at all. What am I thinking of? I haven't offered you a drink.
Well, it's been very pleasant here with you, but I'd better be going. Have you the books?
Oh, yes, the books. See, where did I put them? I'll get them for you, but why leave so soon? It's early. You'll make me think you didn't like it here.
Not at all. On the contrary, I...
Well, isn't this cozy?
Pete!
Who's your boyfriend? You... What kind of a game is this?
Let go of my arm! Who do you think you are?
You know. And if you don't, I'm going to teach you fast.
Why, you... You keep your hands off her.
So I gotta keep my hands off her, huh? The little man tells me I gotta. That's a laugh.
I'd advise you to leave her alone.
He advised me to leave her alone.
Who is this fellow, Irene?
Ask her, little man. Now I'm gonna take you apart.
What?
You've killed him. Huh? You killed him.
What happened?
You killed him. You smashed his head with the ashstand.
What?
Why did you do it?
Well, he attacked me. Who is he?
My husband. You did it. You did it on purpose.
Don't be a fool. He was trying to kill me. Oh, we got to get him to a doctor.
No.
Well, why not? He may not be dead.
You don't know who he is, who I am, or anything. Why did you do it?
Yeah. He's dead. No heartbeat. You and I are in serious trouble. We got to think fast. Well, why did I come here tonight?
Yes, why?
I believe you invited me.
And you wouldn't want anybody to know you were here, would you?
No, I wouldn't. Now tell me about him. Who is he?
I hated him. Oh, it's so awful.
Stop it. Now control yourself. There's no time for hysterics. You've got to tell me about him now.
I swore to get even. We couldn't get along. He began seeing other women. I thought I could make him suffer the way he made me.
But who is he?
Don't you know? What a dope you are. Pete Snar, the well-known gunman.
Snar?
Sure. And I'm his wife. Now do you get it? Now why don't you call the cops?
No. Can't do that. We've got to get rid of him. What time is it? We've got to get him out of here. You're up to your neck in this too, remember? It means prison for both of us. Manslaughter.
What are you going to do?
I'm going to get him out of here. I'm going to get rid of him now.
His car's probably outside. He usually drives alone.
We'll put him in it, and I'll drive somewhere and leave him.
Hurry now. Take him away. What if somebody comes?
Why, is somebody coming?
No, but you can't tell. Hurry.
I'll be seen. I can't go lugging a body around. It's only 10 o'clock. How will I get him downstairs?
I don't know.
3 flights. I'll be sure to run into someone. Why didn't I think of that? I can't think straight. Who's that?
Come on, we know you're in there. Open up.
Shh.
Don't
make a sound. Irene, what are you doing in there?
Yeah, what are you doing?
What? Just you know.
We saw that, didn't we?
Irene, open up now. We know you're there.
Ah, come on.
She's
there. Might as well blow.
Yeah,
quick, turn out the lights. Who was that?
I don't know. I can't imagine. Some party hounds.
Oh, what's this? Look at the rug. Blood. You'll have to scrub it. You'll have to clean this whole place. Pick up every piece of hair, even. You got any gloves? I gotta have gloves.
No, I don't know. Get him out of here.
I'm waiting. Wait till it gets late. Late. ¶¶ I smashed Snarr with the ash stand. I can't understand how I did it. He was choking me. But I couldn't be involved in this in any way. What had become of my life? I summoned strength from a reserve I didn't know I had. Snarr had driven up in his car. About 1 o'clock, Irene and I carried the body down. I put it in the back of his car and instructed Irene to keep away from me. Under no circumstances was she to get in touch with me. I drove away with the body. I was with Irene. Had she loved her husband, that hideous thing, Black? Oh, I couldn't trust her, could I? I was in her hands. But she was at my mercy, too. An accomplice. I could deny that I'd done it. As I drove, I felt easier. I would outwit them. I'd cover my tracks. I'd overlook nothing. The most dangerous part was behind me. For a few blocks, I drove straight along deserted streets, reveling in the thought that I was safely out of the apartment. Red stoplight loomed ahead. I jammed on the brakes. It seemed forever until the light turned green. But at last it did. I let the clutch out. The motor died. Oh, what if I couldn't start it? What if it wouldn't start? I tried the starter again. Nothing happened. I broke into a cold sweat. I tromped on the starter. And then I saw strolling toward me, swinging his club, a policeman.
Well, what's the trouble, buddy? Can't get her started?
No.
Well, probably flooded your carburetor. Well, you might as well get out. I'll roll her over to the curb and let her sit till she drains.
Probably start now. I'll try it.
No, she's flooded. You can't sit here in the street. Cramp your wheels. We'll push her over to the curb.
Well, I can't get out. I can't do any heavy pushing.
Oh, well, why didn't you say so? Well, I can probably give you a shove. Yeah, this is a big car. There, she's coming. Boy, she's heavy enough. You'd think the back seat was full. Ain't got something hidden in there, have you?
Quite cold tonight, isn't it?
Cold? I think this is one of the hottest nights I ever seen for this time of year. Say, that's a swell job, this boat. These big cars really roll, don't they? Don't see many models like this one. Only 2 or 3 in town.
Think I'll try again.
You got a green light, buddy. Watch it now.
I was trembling so I could hardly hold the wheel. Where should I go? I remembered Pinewood Road up in the hills. Swung the car into Hillcrest Boulevard and began to climb. As I looked down into the canyon, my scalp crawled. One swerve, and I could imagine how the car would catapult end over end, mangling its quick and its dead in a heap at the bottom. But what if it rolled? Rolled without me? That was it. I slowed down, looking for a likely place. Soon in the path of the headlights, an observation point loomed. A place where sightseers stopped to look down the valley. I drove the car to the edge of that precipice and got out. I know what I'll do. I'll get it done. Then I won't be afraid anymore. I've got no time to lose. What's that? Oh, thought it was a car coming. Gotta hurry. I'll look and see if the car will hit anything as it goes down. No, there's nothing but a shed or two. Now the body. Oh, it's getting stiff. I'll put my hand under the arms like this and pry the body out. Oh, the feet, they're dangled. Oh, this thing's horrible. Horrible and unwieldy.
Can't manage it. Gonna do it. Can't let myself think. Here, I'll shove. Shove it in the front seat like this, under the wheel. The arms. They won't go in. Get in there. Oh. Get in. Get in there. There. That's it. In now. Now take the brake off. There it goes. There. It's moving. It's going. Got to shove. There. There it goes. In the days that followed, I was haunted by what I had done. What had I done? I killed a man. Had I left a clue? Had Irene kept faith with me? I lived through every moment of that horrible evening 1,000 times. Feverishly, I read the newspapers. They reported that a car had been found smashed up in the canyon. The driver had been killed in the accident. I breathed with relief. But only momentarily. Fear came back. What about Irene? I never wanted to see her again. I hoped she'd disappear forever. Then I remembered the library card. I'd destroy it. Where was it? Searched frantically. I'd lost it. I must have dropped it in her apartment. I turned the shop upside down. The card was not to be found. It was, I can't remember, 2 days, I think, after the thing happened that she appeared in the shop.
Well, you don't seem very glad to see me.
What are you doing here? Don't talk so loud. Didn't I tell you not to come?
I must say, you're not very polite.
All right, come in. Come in here. It's just as well you came after all. I must have dropped a card with your name on it at your place. Did you find it?
Do you mind if I smoke? Have a cigarette?
Did you find the card?
Take it easy. Guess who came to see me last night?
Ah, this is no time for guessing games.
All right. With Sonny Prandtl. But you wouldn't know him.
Go on.
I don't like snoopers, do you?
What do you mean?
Oh, people who go poking their noses into other people's business.
Irene, for heaven's sake, take this seriously. Talk straight.
I can do that, too. Only you may not like it.
I don't like any of this. I didn't ask for any of it.
All right, big boy. Sonny Prandtl broke in on me and found your precious card. That's not all. He found a pencil with WB on it. Only I don't suppose it was yours.
Who is Prandtl?
A guy you wouldn't appreciate. One of Pete Snar's pals.
Did you give him the things?
Give him? Oh, sure. He coaxed me out of them.
Oh, you've got to get them back. Does he know anything?
No, not yet.
I've got to have them, Irene.
Well, I thought you ought to know. Forewarned is forearmed, they say. So long, big boy.
After she left, I was terrified. What had caused this change in her? I locked up the shop and walked. I walked miles. Should I pack and leave town? I was tempted to do that. But wouldn't it be better to confess and take my punishment? With time off for good behavior, there might be a few years left in which I could have peace of mind again. When the evening edition was on the street, I rushed to buy a copy. There it was. Police believe canyon accident may be murder. My eyes burned through the paper. Body and car identified as Pete Snar. Notorious underworld character. Police grilling suspects, including a woman known to be associated with Snar. Goes by the name of Irene Smith or Delamore. I had to get away. I walked in a daze through crowded streets back to the shop. Should I run? Should I? I couldn't tell. I couldn't think. Yet I had to appear natural to anyone who might be watching me. And perhaps Irene would be stronger than I had thought. She would realize it was her neck as well as mine. I might win through yet. First, I had to find out what happened to Irene. I went to the phone and dialed her number. I waited. Then the operator said the phone had been disconnected.
strange thought crossed my mind. Prison might be good for me. I was cold, clammy with exhaustion. I was so tired when I returned to the shop I could hardly stand. I hardly knew what I was doing. My safe was a small one. Stood behind the counter. I'd take the bond and the cash, get away. Trembling fingers, I bent over and twirled the dial on the safe and drew the door open. I was reaching for the money box when a voice said,
"All right, Mr. Burton, stand up. My name is Vincent. Do you know this woman?"
"Irene."
"Oh, Will."
Looks like you know each other all right. This name is taking a murder rap. There seems to have been some connection between you two."
"No, I tell you there isn't. You promised if I confessed you'd make it easier for me."
"Well, I'm a man of my word."
"Then why do you want to bring me here for?"
"Just want to clear up a little matter. I'm curious about that library card and the pencil."
"A pencil?"
"Yes, with the initials WB on it. But our friend Miss Delamore here can't explain how she got the pencil or the card, which I think came from your files."
"I'm all confused."
"It doesn't mean anything, though. This woman has confessed to the murder."
"Irene, you didn't do it."
"What's that?"
"Irene, I won't let you do this. I'll tell you. Yes, I'll tell you. I murdered Pete Snar."
"Phew. Well, he said it. You see, Cowper, I told you he was the kind of screwball who wouldn't let a woman down."
"You're as hard-boiled as they come, sister. All right, let's go, Burton. You have an appointment with the law."
And that's the story, or almost all of the story. Later on, when I could think straight again, I found out what had happened. Vincent said,
"Burton, it's always been my principle to go the shortest way to my objective. After we traced Miss Delamore and subjected her to grilling, she agreed to turn state's evidence. Yes, she pinned the murder on you. But it occurred to me we could save ourselves a great deal of trouble if we could get a confession from you. By having Irene pretend she'd committed the murder and taking advantage of your strong moral sense, we went the shortest way to our objective."
"She... Irene hadn't taken the guilt on herself? She was lying all the time?"
"Yes. But it was only a matter of time until we'd have had sufficient evidence to arrest you. We'd had our eyes on you ever since the pencil and card turned up in her apartment. There were probably fingerprints on the car. And through Irene, we had a source of information by which we could check every detail. But it's all much simpler if we have a confession."
"Yes. There's just one question I want to ask."
"Mm-hmm."
"What makes you think I have a strong moral sense?"
"Well, sir, I'll tell you. Because Irene was technically as guilty as you are. But you wouldn't let a woman take the rap."
And now the lights are on again, and we have just a few moments in which to talk with our stars this evening, Yvonne Patey and John Grover. How do you like playing such roles as the one you took tonight, Yvonne?
"Very much, Hal. The more dramatic, the better."
"Well, I imagine many of our listeners will be surprised to know that you play a very different role every afternoon on KPO."
"You mean Barbara Tate?"
"Mm-hmm."
"Yes, and I hope those who tune me in at 4:30 Monday through Fridays will think of me as Barbara Tate rather than of Irene."
"Well, I'm sure they'll get a truer picture of you that way, Yvonne. And now, John Grover, how did you like your part as William Burden, the conscience-stricken bookseller?"
"Well, I felt sorry for the man, Hal. But it was a nice, fat part."
"You're right there. And for the record, we want to tell everybody that you do the smooth announcing job on the Standard Hour, the Standard School, and, let's see, aren't you the one with the peculiar family, Uncle Bagsaddle, Wilberforce, Hysteria, and all the rest?"
"Sure am, Hal. You've been listening to Barbara Tate, too, I see."
"Ah, well, who doesn't? Well, John, you and Yvonne have really proved your versatility again tonight at 9:30, and thanks for a fine performance." Tonight at 9:30 has featured an original radio drama, The Devil is a Woman, written and produced by George Snell, with Yvonne Patey, John Grover in the starring roles. Included in tonight's cast were Lou Tobin, Dick Ellers, and Bert Horton. Next Saturday night, we will present a special dramatic program celebrating the 99th anniversary of the birth of Thomas A. Edison. A feature will be a demonstration of Edison's earliest phonograph records. Be sure to listen. Friends, the war years have taught us that human life is expendable with tragic ease. With the return of peace, we are apt to think that no longer will life be wasted so cheaply. Yet the fact is, more lives are lost through accidents on our streets and our highways than are or have been lost in war. A little care, a little forethought can reduce this appalling toll of life. When you drive your car, drive carefully. Observe traffic regulations. Make sure that the safety factors of your car have been checked. Then, drive safely. We can defeat the specter that haunts our highways if we will join with determination in an all-out effort to drive safely. Tonight at 9:30, a weekly Saturday night feature on KPO came to you from the NBC studios in San Francisco. Al Wolf speaking. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.